What does it take to follow Jesus? What do you need to be a disciple of Jesus? Now, have you heard a preacher say, just repeat these words and then you can be sure you're a Christian and you're going to heaven? Or just fill out this card, or just come to the front, let me put my hands on you, and then we can know that you're a saved person. You can never find Jesus saying those words. We have his words. You can study them. Not he nor his apostles said such things. And in these verses we have read today, there's something very surprising. Jesus turned people away. Jesus told people they were not ready to be his disciples. He didn't find people who wanted to be his disciples. But Jesus knew their hearts, and he said, you're not ready. And that's very surprising. We live in a time when every pastor wants to make his church big, and every preacher wants to have a large following. And you don't find them saying, you're not truly ready to be a disciple of Jesus. You don't find them saying, what's in your heart is preventing you from being saved. And yet such things are in the Bible. Such things Jesus said. So, may God search your heart. May God search my heart as we study these verses today. There are three men in these verses, so that makes it very easy for us to study in turn. First, verse 57 and 58. The message here was to count the cost. Count the cost of following Jesus. Now they're going towards Jerusalem. We were told that just a few verses earlier. Verse 51 said Jesus set his face. He resolved to go to Jerusalem. The time was coming for his death on the cross. The time was near for him to make that great sacrifice of himself and to shed his blood for the sins of the nations. Now there was still a little time, but the beginning of the preparation had come, and he set his face to go there. You remember, they've been going through one of the villages on the way. This we studied last week. They were going through Samaria. The people there, some of the Samaritans, they didn't welcome him. They didn't believe that the Savior would go to Jerusalem. They thought he'd come to one of their towns. So they didn't welcome him. But that was where he was going, according to the will of God. And there were many others going with him. Every Jewish man each year had to go to Jerusalem for some of the feasts, some of the offerings of the temple. There were many who went with him. And there were those who were the followers of Jesus. They traveled together with him. They listened to his teaching. They wanted to be with him where he was. And as he went, there's a man who came. He made a great offer. You hear the words that the man said. He came to Jesus and said, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus didn't ask him. He didn't try to persuade him. The man just came. He was a volunteer. And he didn't say, I'd like to follow you, but let's negotiate. He didn't say, I'd like to follow you, but tell me more. And he said, no, I've seen, I've heard, and Lord, I want to follow you, and I want to follow you everywhere. Wherever you go, whatever you do, let me follow you. It's wonderful to hear someone say those words. So many want to follow Jesus as long as they get this, as long as they get that. And if you tell them some things the Bible says, they're not sure. But this man, he came and said, I want to follow you wherever you go. Now Matthew, in his gospel, tells us a little more about this man. He was a teacher of the law. He was one of the scribes, they're called, those who taught the law to the people. And most of those people rejected Jesus. most of those teachers, or most of that class of people, they didn't want to know Jesus. They didn't think he was the Messiah. But this man, he had separated himself from his friends and his group and was ready to follow Jesus. So he'd risen above the others, and he didn't mind if they disagreed with him. He was ready to follow Jesus. But actually, Jesus said to him, "You're not ready to follow me." Because Jesus knows the hearts of all people. Something we've read many times, or last week in verse 47. Jesus knowing their thoughts. Jesus knew the heart of this man. And when he saw it, he knew he's not ready. See, the scribes, the teachers of the law, they had a good life. They had a comfortable life. The people were giving offerings. And a life of studying the law, a life of discussing it with other teachers, and a life of teaching it to others. You know, that's a comfortable life, isn't it? These weren't men who were working with their hands, not men working under the sun every day. But in the Christian life, troubles come. And in being one of those traveling around with Jesus, there were many dangers and many difficulties. Where was Jesus going? He was going to the cross. He was going to die. What were the apostles with him going to do? Going to go out to the nations and tell them to repent. They were going to go out to the nations and suffer and be rejected and be beaten and be chased, just like Jesus. They also were going to go the way of the cross. The time was coming when all the rulers and leaders of Israel would rise up to persecute Jesus and later to persecute his followers. Jesus had to say to this man, "You don't actually know what this is going to cost you." And we hear the birds. We see different animals. Oh, birds, they travel far, and they can go hundreds of miles. The animals, they come out and they can roam far around. But at the end of the day, or at the end of their season, they go back to their place. And Jesus said, the foxes, they have their holes. They go back to hide in their place and to rest and to sleep until they want to come out again. And the birds, they have their nests. They go back and there they rest. But Jesus said, "I, the Son of Man, as the Savior of men, I don't have any such place. I don't have any such comforts. The Father hasn't given me that kind of life. I've got nowhere to call my own, nowhere to lay my head." As he went to Jerusalem to die on the cross and to send his servants out to the world, that's how it was for them. God has told his children, he'll give us our daily bread and he'll clothe us. But he hasn't given us any more guarantees in this world. Yes, one day he'll come and he'll make all things new. He'll make everything glorious. But in this life and in this world, there's no promises. He'll clothe us, he'll feed us. But following Jesus could bring you into terrible situations and dreadful positions. Now, in God's mercy, most of his followers, well, we have a place to stay and we have work to do, and nobody's been burning our houses down and nobody's been chasing us. But if you follow Jesus faithfully, then terrible times can come. Times can come where you don't know if you'll be in this town next week, if you'll be in this country next week. Jesus looked into the heart of this man and he knew he wasn't ready for that kind of commitment. That those who were with Jesus as he went to the cross at that time, many of them would have to lay down their lives also. And he needed to challenge this man about that cost, because those times come. Now, Jesus asks us for nothing except what he himself did. He was the leader, going himself to the cross, the first, and to that cross he went alone. He asked nothing except what he's already done, and he promises his strength to help us to do it too. This man, this teacher, he didn't really know his own heart, and often we don't know our own hearts. We say big, big words about following Jesus. So whatever it costs, whatever it takes, it's easy to say those words, but it's difficult to really follow them, to pursue godliness, pursue holiness day by day, to repent daily, to turn from sin daily, to serve Jesus daily, so that when the big tests come, we have the strength to deny ourselves daily. That's what Jesus had said earlier, wasn't it? He said, if anyone will come after me, let him take up his cross each day and follow me. And that was back in verse 23. Jesus isn't looking for good words from you, but Jesus really does want your whole life laid down before him. Doesn't want you to say good words, but to keep something back. You know, as long as I have a safe place I can retreat to, as long as I can get out of any trouble and each night lay down and sleep in peace, then I'll follow Jesus. That's not the commitment he's looking for. Following Jesus can cost you everything. Are you ready for that? Count the cost. If you start a long, long race, you may find you're halfway through, you ran out of supplies, you've got no energy, you've got no strength, you can't make it to the end. Before you follow Jesus, count the cost. Now let's look at the next man's, the second man, verse 59 and 60. Now this man was with them. Jesus spoke to him, verse 59. Matthew tells us that he was already a disciple. He was already one of those following with Jesus along the way. But now Jesus called him to a greater commitment. Not just to be one who was coming with them from time to time. Just one of the ordinary disciples. But to be someone who would give now their life to preaching the kingdom. Could now give their life to be one of the group who would now trust him each day for their bread, for their clothing, and to have a place to rest. One who would be going out to evangelize. One who would leave their normal calling. God calls some people to that work. And he said to him, verse 59, follow me. Like the words he said earlier to James and John and other disciples. Leave your normal business now, follow me. No way, only the Son of God can say words like that. Now, Jesus was the most humble of men, the most low of men. He was going to die, but he said, follow me. He didn't say, follow this teaching or follow God, but follow me, because I am the way to God and I am the Son of God. Christianity is to follow Christ as Lord, as master, as teacher, as all. He knew who he was, so he said, follow me. The man, verse 59, he doesn't say no. He doesn't say, let me think about that one. But he agrees. There's just one little thing. Let me first bury my father. First, let me bury my father. Now, we're not sure if his father was already dead and there was a funeral, or if his father was very old and weak and his days were very short and he would soon be gone. But it sounds like the best of reasons, doesn't it? Let me bury my father, the one who brought me into the world together with my mother, the one who raised me and taught me. The fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. What could be better than this? What could be more important than this? What better reason to leave the work of God and to go and look after those things? And yet, Jesus said no. Verse 60. Sound like hard words, don't they? Let the dead bury their own dead. You go proclaim or preach the kingdom. So there come times when you have to choose, even with Christ on one side and your father and mother on the other side. Those times can come. And this was such a time. Jesus was going to the cross, and the time was now. You could be with him as he claimed his kingdom by dying for sins, or you could be busy with other business. But the time was now. It was time to decide. Would you stand with him in the darkest hour? Would you be there when he rose so that you could tell others about it, tell them what you've seen? Or would you attend to your family business? In another place, Jesus said that if anyone would be my disciple, he must hate his father and his mother. Now, he didn't mean that in the kind of literal sense, but he's saying when the choice comes, when you can either serve your kingdom or serve your father and mother, then there must be no question. It must be easy for you. If somehow it required you to hate them, then it must be easy for you to choose that. Of course, you're never called on to hate any person, but the way he's saying it, he's making it clear to us that when the choice comes between clan and or tribe, even your father and mother and all your uncles come to you and say, you will do this. If the kingdom is on the other side, then you must choose the kingdom. Those times can come. Unless Christ is the Lord, then he's not the Savior either. Unless you follow Christ above all, then you're not really following him. You know, if you work in a business, there may be the owner, then there may be the manager, and some other managers under him, and maybe you're the worker at the bottom. Now, who is the real one who you must obey above all? The one who you can never question? Well, it's the owner, isn't it? If you say, well, the owner is telling me to go this way, but the manager's telling me to go that way, there's no question, is there? The owner is the owner. You must obey him. And Christ is God. Christ is Lord. Christ is Savior. Yes, he's put you in the world with other people, husband, wife, parents, bosses at work. But Christ is God. And there must be no question if you're truly to follow him. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. Those who are dead spiritually, those who are not part of the kingdom, those who don't understand these things, those who are just doing the things of this life and this world. Sometimes you have to leave the business of this world to those people because the kingdom calls you to something else. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Then all other things will be added to you. Put the kingdom first. Let God take care of the rest. Now often to serve God, we need to do our work in the world. God said, honor father and mother. Births and marriages and funerals are the business which God can give us each day. But when the choice comes, the kingdom must come first. Today is God's day. Today is the Lord's day. The word of God is preached. God is praised. No disciple of Jesus can say, but I need to go to my business. You know, I've worked there 6 days, but now I still have many problems, so let me have all 7 days for those things. That's not to be a disciple of Jesus. God must have his day. Or if the clan and family says, we're going to have a meeting Sunday morning, we're going to meet. The disciple of Jesus has to say, no, the family of God is already meeting then. My people are already meeting then. The family of God has to come first, because the family of God will last forever. Even when flesh and blood pass away, and when our human relationships are ended, the family of God will remain. Put the kingdom first. In your place of work, be honest, be reliable, be hard working. Don't be like others. Don't make shortcuts. Put the kingdom first. Put honoring Jesus first, even above all other things. Well, the third man is in verse 61 and 62. Again, he offered, and he came to Jesus, and he spoke to him, and he said, I want to follow you. I will follow you, Lord. But now comes another word, but. But let me first go back and say goodbye to my family. Let me just go and settle my affairs, finish my business. Let me go and tell them where I've gone. And again, it sounds so reasonable. Because this was a man, he was already committed to Jesus. He'd already joined the group of disciples. But he said, let me just withdraw. Let me just go aside for a moment to finish all the business at home. It's quite similar to the second man. But it seems what was in this man's heart, really, is he wanted to step aside. He'd found the work was hard. He found serving Jesus was difficult, and he wanted to retreat for a time. Many enter the Christian race, but they grow tired and they say, well, let me just stop for a time. I'll come back later. Let me put down this service just for now, but I'll come back again and pick it up later. And then they go just to their own business and their own affairs. Serving Jesus is hard. Our own desires fight against us. Our own desires for an easy life fight against us. The devil fights against us. He hates us. He shows us his malice. He stirs up problems for us. The world fights against us. All the things that we can do out there, all the attractions, all the things to follow after, they draw us away. It's hard to follow Jesus. And people can laugh at you. People can say, why are you taking this so seriously? Why do you talk so much about Jesus? Why are you always doing things in that church? You've got too much religion, they say. And this man had grown tired in serving God. He wanted to retreat away from the front line of the battle. He wanted to go and find a place of rest. But now was not the time for that. The cross was coming. Now the battle was about to get to its fiercest. Now, sometimes the head of the army may say, these soldiers, they fought long and hard. Let me send them to a quieter place for a time. Let me give them some rest. But he's the one to decide, isn't he, in the army? The soldier can't say, let me put down my work now and let me go and just do something on my shamba. Soldier can't say that. Now Jesus, he told his disciples, we are heading to that time when I die and rise and claim my kingdom. And this man was saying, let me just go and rest for a time. Let me leave those things. It can't be done, you see. Yes, in an army, after you've fought it for a few years and you've gone to places, you served your country, you can say, let me be released now. And they can say, we release you. An honorable discharge. They give you a certificate, say you fought for your country, you're a good soldier. And now you can go back and do some other business. But you can't do that in the kingdom of God. You can't take up the work and then say, oh, I don't want to work for Jesus anymore. You can't start serving the poor and the needy. You can't start loving and helping your neighbor and then one day say, no, no, not now. Let me just retreat to my own business for a time. Can't do that. The Christian is someone who has taken up the plow. At verse 62, put your hand to the plow. You started working for God in the world. So there's plowing, there's sowing the seed, there's watching, there's weeding, there's waiting, there's watering, and in the end, the harvest will come. But when you take up that plow, it's hard work. And you can't say, oh, let me go and rest now. There'll be no harvest. There'll be nothing to eat. There'll be no fruit. Those who are Christians have decided to serve Christ in their lives, in their homes, in their families, in their places of work. They can't say, well, let me stop serving him now because it's hard work. And if you started the race, you have to complete the race. Jesus himself set his face to the cross. No turning back. Praise God that there was no turning back. That the Father sent him to bleed and suffer and to be rejected and to die for the sins of his people. And Jesus never said, not now, please. Let me come back to this later. But he went. He went according to all the Father had given him. He went there to shed his blood, to face that darkness, to face that death, no turning back, to bring us life and salvation and glory. So Jesus deserves our service without holding back. Let him be the one to decide when service will be hard and when he'll give us a time when it's not so hard. But we must have total commitment to him. And when the fighting gets hot, when the trouble gets hard, that's when we need to fight hardest, to pray hardest, to trust more. The soldier can't say, the fighting's very hot now, so let me put down my weapon because it's too much for me. That was what this man was doing. But Jesus is worthy of our full effort. Jesus is worthy of our total commitment. Don't look back is the message for this man. Count the cost of following Jesus. Put his kingdom first. Don't look back. Keep going forward. One day you'll see him. One day he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And you see that day? Keep going forward. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes the ground is rough. Sometimes you're very weak. But keep going forward. Say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord.